Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, hello. This is Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. You're listening to Marriage Therapy Radio. We are in wedding season. People are starting to get married or not starting to get married. I guess they're always getting married, but it turns out August is one of the most popular months for weddings. And as a result, I've seen a whole bunch of pre-married couples coming in looking for advice and preparation, which I think is both wise and sometimes useless. And we'll talk about those things here on the next bit. Stick around.
Ready to roll.
Here we are.
Yep. Well, it's good to see your face. I've seen it twice now because we are recording in anticipation for you to be gone.
And you.
Well, yes, and me to be gone. Which, by the way, I know that you gave me a lot of shit for not wanting to hang out with you while I was in Washington, but it turns out you're not even going to be there. You're going to be
leaving on Saturday.
I'm going to the Jersey Shore.
Going to the Jersey Shore.
No,
that's where you
say it right.
That's how you say it.
Jersey Shore.
I don't know. Jersey Shore. We're going to Ocean City, New Jersey. Yeah.
Great. So, how long are you going to be gone for?
A week. We're taking our kids. Rebecca grew up going there, so we're taking them to kind of see the whole thing. It's like a traditional boardwalk beach where it's like a big lively boardwalk with lots of restaurants and mini golf and people biking and skateboarding and all that other stuff. So
that'll be awesome.
Excited. Yeah.
So you have a teenager and a preteen. Do they get a little, I mean, what is it like to travel with a teenager and a preteen? I don't even know what that looks like.
I don't know. It kind of depends. They're not that close. They're 4 years apart. So they're not like pals or anything. They may end up being pals on this trip because they don't have any other friends near them. But
right.
But it's fine. They both travel well, and they're into different things. So, but you know, you're not dragging them around anywhere. That's cool. And and we have them on a pretty long leash. Like, they're both responsible kids, and they may disappear for a couple hours at a time. You know.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even know.
That'll be fun. Yeah. Do you put any sort of like GPS trackers on them when you go to places like this?
I mean, I've got one on Abby's phone.
Okay, but, where you can track her.
The other one doesn't have a phone.
Oh my gosh, I can't even do this. I've had so many emotional moments. Did I say this last time we were together, where I just was having like these kind of like emotional moments? Oh, my husband and I, by the way, we had our anniversary yesterday. We celebrated, and we did our zip line thing at Sundance, cool. And it was amazing. And then at dinner, we're having this wonderful time and we're talking about things that we're grateful for. And it's like this really lovely conversation. And what do? I burst into tears. And he was like, I don't even know what to do with this. You're being sentimental. And I said, do not dismiss my emotions right now, Ryan. I'm just embrace them. And he did not know what to do with it. And I was literally crying because.
Didn't you listen to my podcast?
Exactly. No, you didn't listen to my podcast. We're about to throw down. I just was kind of like tearing up because I was so grateful for my son and also recognizing that there's one, uno little dude in my life, and there's not going to be any more. And just sort of in that weird
place
in my life.
That's different than what you told me the other day.
No, what I said the other day is that I am having these desires, these urges. And if you are a parent out there and you kind of went through the same phase that I did, which is I only want one. And then you get to that point where you're kind of like, do I want another? No, I definitely, I've been telling myself I don't want another. And I think I'm still just kind of grappling with it because I really don't want another. But my first was so great that I just kind of want to recreate it. At the 2 year mark, I don't want to go through 0 to 2.
Yeah.
If you have a great child that's over the age of 2, send them my way because I could like take care of them for a while.
Rebecca and I decided we didn't want children
at all.
And now we have to tell them.
I haven't heard a good dad joke from you actually ever, but I haven't heard a dad joke from you like for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite one is the ones are the ones now that have like the therapist is, has the couple in the practice and the therapist says, so what's wrong? And the wife says, I just can't handle how he replaces words with the names of animals. And then he says, well, I didn't do it on purpose.
Oh man. All right. Now we need to wrap this up. We need to wrap it up because I can already tell that you are starting to get on a roll and we're just going to mm-hmm. go ahead and cut it off.
Yeah. I got one more. The therapist says, so are you really considering divorce? And she says, yeah, I mean, are you really considering leaving the marriage? And she says, yeah, I mean, if he uses one more Star Wars pun, and then he says, divorce is strong with this one.
Okay. All right. That was a courtesy laugh, actually. That wasn't a real laugh on my behalf, but I was just trying to give you a laugh so that you wouldn't continue on with more jokes.
Okay.
So I love that your buddy, by the way, said that I was, what did he say? I was spicy?
No, I was with a friend last night. We were playing pinball and talking about stuff, including the podcast. And he goes, that girl on your podcast, she is sassy.
Sassy. That's right. There's only a few people in my life, everyone, that I'm sassy with. And you are very fortunate to spend an hour a week with me. You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're talking about a topic that you really wanted to tackle because you find that it's really important. And both of us did premarital work. So we're going to be talking about a topic that we had teased a couple episodes ago, but we're talking about premarrieds.
I just feel like I get a lot of people, particularly in the summertime, coming in because they want to, make sure they check off all their boxes before they get married,
mm-hmm.
And so they want to do counseling. Somebody told them that they should. And I tend to kind of disabuse them of the notion that, that it's somehow going to change anything. I mean, premarital counseling isn't really that valuable unless part of what you're trying to discern is whether or not to get married.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there are some things that you can tackle as a therapist and that you should tackle as a couple if you're intending to set yourself up for success. So yeah. I feel like, again, this last couple months I've had, sort of higher than average. And of course, I tend to repeat patterns with them. And mm-hmm. so we're going to share some of those.
Okay. All right. Well, I do agree. I find that couples will come in and my biggest problem with premaritals is that they come in and they have the same question. They're like, well, we just need to make sure that this is the right fit for us, that we're moving in the right direction. They're not really coming in to check their boxes and get a yay or nay stamp of approval because their wedding is in a month. And never, ever, ever have I ever had a couple come in and said, I just don't think this is a good fit. I might have thought it, but they're nearing their wedding date. And, that one drives me nuts. Now, if a couple comes in and they have a year, they're a year out, or they're contemplating getting engaged, that's where I'm really happy that couples are coming in. Cause there's sort of a sweet spot, right? You want to intervene sooner than before people are really kind of marching to the altar. Mm-hmm. If they're actually looking for that stamp of approval, which I don't think couples therapists are really there to give you a stamp of approval. It's not what we're here for.
Although I have definitely told couples I don't think they should get married.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I have said it to one couple and I do. It was a tragic story. I'll tell you about it some other time.
Basically what I do is I tell them, I listen to them talk and I go, my question is why haven't you broken up?
Oh.
Like, why are you still together?
Mm-hmm.
Don't like each other. You don't trust each other. Mm-hmm. Your parents don't approve. You're not, it's like, uh-huh. I don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you actually had three questions you wanted to talk about today. So what are those three questions that are so important?
So when couples come in and it's clear that they are getting married and that they really are interested in, by the way, I don't call it premarital counseling anymore. I call it transition to marriage counseling. Because I think it's more true, right? It's really the transition into this thing that's inevitable. And I often say something like, and I actually think that the more important therapy that you do is going to happen after the wedding. Like the more important transition therapy is after you get married. But I do think that people need to fundamentally understand their why, right? We've talked about this a number of times. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I doing this? And I think for me, I usually have them write down as a piece of homework the answer to three questions that I feel like if you don't have the answer to these questions, then you're not clear about your why. And the first one is, why this person? You know, why do I want to knit my life together with the person that I'm on the couch with, or this person that I'm in a relationship mm-hmm. with? What is it about them that makes me think that they are sort of a worthy life partner? I think that's okay.
Okay, so let me put a pause on this for just a second. So why this person? So let's just say that you are discussing the answers to these questions, and what would be something that would either be a like a red flag or something that would kind of cause pause as a therapist in answering that question where you go, ooh, I don't know about that. I'm not sure if that's an appropriate why.
Do you want to answer that?
I would say one is in retrospect, looking at, well, it's because it's not this person. So I tell me if this is true, but I have seen this happen many a times with people in my life where they'll date somebody for a really long time and then they break up and the next person that they meet is the person that they get engaged to. Mm-hmm. And if I was working with a couple and part of their why was, well, because this person is not abusive, this person doesn't talk down to me, this person doesn't, it's sort of like the things that they don't do is mm-hmm. the why, as opposed to the things that they are or the things that they embody, sort of the positive side of that. But that was one thing that just kind of came to mind, is comparing your current partner to old partners and using that as your why.
And I actually would flip that over a little bit, because I think that if they don't have a real good why, I'll say something like, well, presumably you've dated other people before, right? I mean, and they'll say, yeah, I dated this person or that person, or I actually live with somebody or whatever. And I'll go, well, what is different about this partner that has made you choose the marriage decision that mm-hmm. you didn't make that choice with other people? You know, what qualities mm-hmm. exist here that were absent in your other relationships? I think for me, the one that gives me the most pause is when they say, well, we're both, both the same age and both at the same point in life, and we both want the same things. And so we just felt like now is a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hear something about love, right? I do want to hear something about that, because,
Rather than external factors pushing
them. I think you want to be able to describe your partner, even the things that drive you crazy, but realize that there's something called love that is transcending those things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Interesting. Can I ask you, when you were getting ready, because you and Rebecca married when you were quite young, right?
Yeah, we were.
Looking back on that, what was your why at the time?
That's a really tough one. I think it was, so I did this thing where I dated a whole bunch of people in a lot of different ways for a bunch of years. And then when I met Rebecca, I had sort of gotten to this part where I decided I had said, I love you a whole bunch of times, but turns out I didn't really mean it ever. Or maybe I did, but then I started to realize that I wanted to attach love to marriage. And then, so I told Rebecca when we started dating, I said, I'm not going to tell you I love you until I'm ready to say, will you marry me? And
wow,
she told me, like, I don't know, we were dating maybe 6 months or so. And I waited a whole nother 6 months, because it just took me that long to realize that, who she was and what she brought to my life and how she made me better. And that I understood what it would mean to say, I love you. And when I did, she thought I was just like, I forgot, but then I proposed that same moment. And
wow.
So I don't know. I think that's why I think love is a big part of it for me. It's just, I want to make sure that that's, Because there was plenty about Rebecca that drove me crazy, and I understood that, but not with the same kind of language I do now. And that's part of why I want to press the issue with couples when they come in.
Just to kind of balance it out a little bit, and in honor of my anniversary that we had yesterday, is I remember I did not date. I was sort of the opposite. I didn't date very many people at all. And when I met my husband, he was just a buddy, and we just started hanging out. And that was... It was unlike, or it was like every other relationship that I had with males in my life. But the part that was different is that the more we spent time together, the more I felt as if I had found a piece. And I know that this sounds a little like cliche. Yeah, it's going to sound a lot of cliche. But I just felt like there was this best friend that had always sort of been there, like almost like my other half or my arm or whatever. And when I met him, I just never wanted to stop spending time with him. It wasn't necessarily that I was madly in love or super attracted, or that there were these things that I was so intrigued about him. There was nothing like really like magical about it. It just simply felt as if it should have always been there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I wanted it to continue to always to be there. And he's just sort of my partner in crime. He's like the person that's by my side at all times. So I don't know. That was the why, I guess.
Aren't we sappy?
We're so sappy. Let's you know what? Let's sassy this up a little bit. And your second question. So the first one was why the person.
Yeah. And I think the second one is, honestly, why marriage? What do you believe about marriage? What does marriage mean to you? I mean, it kind of goes back to a few weeks ago on the podcast when we were talking about the purpose of marriage. It used to be being alive, right? Like you needed a partner to survive in the wilderness or whatever. And that's not the case anymore. And so what is your thought of it? What do you believe about the institution? Is it just a way to get health insurance? Or is it a way to, you know, kind of covenant something under the hand of God or anywhere in between, right? And I think if you have wildly disparate or even mildly disparate views of what marriage means, that's important. It's going to make the transition harder. And so I think that just the idea of what is it that I believe about this institution, that is important to note and to have some ideas about.
I like that for the going back of, let's now pretend like this married couple, they talked about the why marriage, why you. And now they're 10 years into their marriage and they're evaluating how have the last 10 years been? I think it is so brilliant to have already had that conversation so that you can go back to it and say, where are we? I mean, we had this view of what marriage was supposed to be and why we were in it. And are we still in it, or has that evolved and changed over time? But I love that if premaritals are starting this journey together, to have that preemptive conversation ahead of time. Really sets
the stage. And here's the thing, right? Like a lot of people come in and they're in trouble and they are thinking about divorce, and they'll say something like, well, I don't want to get divorced because of the kids.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, but when you got married, you didn't say, I want to get married so that I can have some kids and stay together.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? It's not so you have to have some sense of what it is that is binding
context.
You.
Context. Yeah.
And I think that's an unfair burden to put on your kids. I certainly think divorce is traumatic for kids, but I don't think that can be the reason that you stay married.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And there's statistics showing, you know, how children fare based on the relationship and all of that. What was your third question?
It's just a combination of the two. Why get married to this person? Because that's the real answer, right? Why am I going to... Because you can spend your life with somebody that you love and not be married to them. You can also marry someone that you don't love because you believe that marriage is, I don't know.
You want to have kids.
Kids or something. But why do I want to combine these two things? And what is what does that mean? And this is the beginning of really kind of understanding your vows, right? It's the beginning of saying, I have a strong sense of what better and worse means, or sickness and health means, or richer and poorer means. And I know in advance that I'm signing up for that. I mean, mathematically, when a couple gets married, one of them gets richer and one of them gets poorer. I mean, that just is the innate law of averages. And and you have to have some sense of, okay, but I'm willing to sign up for that. And all that's wrapped into what we talked about last time about perpetual problems. I do think that it's really critical in these three kind of conversations or three questions that you're identifying the things that are hardwired into your thinking, your body, your mind, your soul about relationships, right. And recognizing that they're not going away. Like that's, you're signing up for like 50 years, 50, 70 years
of discomfort.
Of this stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I do agree. I think that it's really important. So if premaritals are listening or you know somebody who's getting married, is having them sort of take an inventory of what's hardwired, where are your values, what is unchanging as part of your personality, and sort of laying it all out there and being like, let's just understand from the get-go that these are going to be our pain points from here on out. And they don't have to hurt as much. Like we're going to butt heads and we'll learn how to work through these. But this is unchanging, the whole idea that you're going to change this person. I changed my husband's physical appearance quite a bit when I first met him. And I feel very, very good about it because it just wasn't something that was hardwired in him. He went from being a skater bro buddy to being just a really sexy little GQ man that walks in the office with these tailored suits on.
All right.
But that would not have been on the perpetual conflict list at all because I changed that. Here's the other conversation that I think is really important. So it's like the why the person, why the marriage, and why marriage with this person. And then you said, let's just identify these perpetual conflicts that we're going to butt on. The one that I love to talk about is expectations for roles of what is the role of caretaker. So let's just say one of us gets sick. What is your expectation for what I should do? And what's your expectation for what you should do as the sick person? And what is the expectation for nurturer and expectation for the person who is paying bills and organizing and the person, I mean, there's all of these roles that we play and we all kind of have these preconceived notions that have kind of been hammered into us from an early age, maybe based on modeling of our own parents and whatnot, of just what are our expectations? There might be some serious negotiations that need to happen before you get married.
Yeah. And I think that's why you have to know about your why. I mean, the thing that I hear a lot when couples come in is they'll say, we just want to know what we don't know. And I'm like, well, I don't know what you don't know. And you're not even going to find out what you don't know until you get married. And because it's not just the roles, right? It's like, what is the expectation for Saturday?
Yeah.
For some people, it's like, that's hiking day.
Right. Others,
like, no, it's cleaning day.
It's do nothing day and watch golf, husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
he doesn't listen to the podcast. He's fine. Yeah.
So I think, setting yourself up to be okay with not knowing what you don't know. And this is where I go back to thinking it really is about transition to marriage therapy. It's not premarital therapy. And I generally want couples to agree to come back, you know, 3-6 months after the wedding and figure out, you know, what it is that they really do want to turn their attention to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think just skill building. I mean, we're all going to have these fires that kind of get lit up in our lives just from external circumstances happening. Someone loses a job but there's some pretty predictable situations in the life course where we know you're going to be experiencing some pretty significant pain points and all of these conversations you'll have to rehab. The birth of your first child. Oh boy, we're going to see a lot of perpetual conflict come right back up. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to discuss our roles again. But I do think that premarital is a really good time to come in and have these really good questions because I know that if I was heading into a marriage and I knew my whys, I would feel so much more confident and not like I was just making a decision based on this is what you're supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. I'm 25 to 30 years old and this is kind of what my demographic is up to.
Mm-hmm. I usually paint a picture. I'll say, you know, you're going to stand up on this altar and you're going to have all your friends and family there and you're going to say these words to each other. And I just want you to know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Have it be meaningful.
And that's the purpose of, I think, getting any kind of a therapeutic intervention beforehand or answering these questions is that when you stand up there and you make these promises, you can at least have a sense of, I know what I'm saying. I may not know what worse is yet.
Right. Right.
But I know that I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, thank you so much for suggesting this as a topic and just a little bit of foreshadowing.
Pleasure.
We kind of debated on what to talk about today, but we had suggested that this would be one of the topics. So coming up next, we will be talking, we're going to be answering some emails. So we've had some fast and fury of emails coming through. So we've had some popular episodes lately where people
popular.
Have been...
Popular. You know about popular.
By the way, nobody emailed. Remember when you were singing the airline song?
Sky high airline, sky high airline.
Not a single person emailed.
I know.
Not a single one. It's and you know what I would love? If somebody listening to this episode could just drop one email to info@fourbetter.us that just says, Zach, it's cool. We don't need to hear any dad jokes. We're cool with the break. Just go ahead and do that for me.
Or you could be like, more dad jokes, please.
Yeah.
That would be fine.
Okay. We'll see. All right. We'll see how many come in for either of our sides. This is going to be good. We're both going to be on vacation and I'm going to just forward every email to you.
Hey, do you know this one? What did one snowman say to the other snowman?
What?
Do you smell carrots?
Okay,
that's a good
I'm
one.
Not
that's
even,
a layered joke.
I'm not.
That is layered. That is so many layers.
I'm going to go ahead and think about that one when I'm not looking at you. All right. Thanks so much for listening. And we're going to go ahead and cut this off before Zach says, hey, have you heard this one? All right. Have fun on the Jersey Shore, Zach.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. So no joke, I just spent about 15 minutes scrolling the internet trying to find what I would call mom jokes just so I can compete with Zach's dad jokes. And I've decided that there are zero jokes on the internet that are worthy of your ears. So I'm just going to let Zach be the one to assault him. Anyway, thanks so much for dedicating some time and energy to making your relationship better today than it was yesterday. We look forward to having you join us for the next episode. We have lots of fun ones coming up. As always, you can check out our website. It's marriagetherapyradio.com. And if you would like to become a patron of Marriage Therapy Radio, click on the little tab that says Patreon. And you can spend $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month helping to support this podcast to keep it alive for many future episodes. Have a wonderful day.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.